Hello, and welcome to Creature Wars, the show where zoologists get fighty. First, let's meet our guests. This week we have the exhausted, but still funny, Anirudh. Anirudh, what creature are you representing today?
Today I shall be the albatross.
Nice.
Yeah, the albatross.
Okay. We also have the buoyant and delectable...
Buoyant and delectable? That's new.
The buoyant and delectable Emma Parkin.
Hello.
Can you tell us which creature you're representing today, Emma?
Today I am championing the meerkat.
Okay, the meerkat versus the albatross.
This is going to get interesting.
Before we start, let's have a run through the rules. There are three rounds during which each creature must face a scenario and attempt to survive it. Contestants, as your creatures cannot speak for themselves, you must speak for them. If you think that your creature is not up to a challenge, you can turn over your wild card, which I've written for you today. And you can use the creature on it instead. You may only do this once in the competition. When all the contestants have made their arguments, a judgment will be made. The judge's rule is final. Okay, and let's have the first scenario. Scenario. Hipsters have decided that you are their new hot animal of hipsterdom.
I can see why.
I can see why for both of those, yep. Actually. They're both quite hipster animals. And you are separated from your compatriots in flats all over Hoxton.
Oh, my God.
How will you escape and get back together again? Who wants to go first?
I think Anirudh should go first.
Okay, Anirudh, how will your albatrosses escape these Hoxton flats and rejoin their friends?
Which clearly you take up a huge proportion of, given your size.
Yes, that's true. First of all, I'd like to congratulate the hipsters on managing to capture me. That takes a lot of skill and a lot of creative thinking, and I'm sure they're all very creative people.
Well, they are hipsters after all.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, kind of comes exactly. As the definition, surely.
You're right. And I imagine they put me in a cage of some sort, but it's probably like an organic cage.
No, because they're hipsters.
Yeah, because it's like they're not going to use metal to capture. In fact, they'd probably be really opposed to capturing wildlife.
Yeah.
I could probably just guilt one of the members by looking at it, like sort of just like looking at it like a sad albatross stare, you know?
What does a sad albatross stare look like, Anirudh?
If I had an albatross face, I'd show you.
It's difficult to describe on radio.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah,
kind
exactly.
of like a puppy dog right. eyes, but with a bird?
Sort of, but imagine that magnified to like, a thousand times.
So you're saying an albatross is cuter than a puppy?
So much cuter than
a
puppy.
I think that's a controversial statement, Anirudh.
Look, let's not get into our personal opinions here.
But that's what this program's all about.
Let's stick with scientific objectivity, please, everybody.
Objectivity. The bars of the organic cage would be unable to hold my full extended wingspan, and I would break out. And then...
How big is it, the extended wingspan of an albatross?
Let's do right here.
From what I know, I think it's over five to six feet, but it might be more.
It's 12, is it? Feet. That's
my
right.
goodness.
Wow.
So
therefore it is over 5 to 6 feet.
Yes, it is.
12.
Yeah.
So I'd break out the cage.
That's like two people, like, standing on top of each other.
Exactly.
Like two six-foot men.
Yeah.
Standing on top of each other.
That's two Terry Crews. So.
That's a wonderful image.
You could write a really wonderful algebraic equation. One albatross equals two Terry Crews. Exactly. Therefore, what does A equal? And it would just be great. It'd be so good.
Albatross mathematics. Well, yeah, so I'd bust out of there. Pretty simple. Either through the wingspan or through the, you know, albatross eyes. And then I just sort of fly back.
Fair enough.
I could do it.
Yeah.
I've done it before and I'll do it again.
I think you're going to find it hard to get through the door of any flat in Hoxton.
See,
but that's probably the main problem. But how did they get you in? So
exactly.
There must be a way out.
There's a window somewhere.
Yeah.
Sure. Cool. If not, the guilt will really have to really get me out of there. It's going to have to be... I'm thinking more of the guilt than the busting out of the cage.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Meerkats.
Meerkats. Great diggers. Very strong, powerful forearms and claws designed for digging. However, I'm not really sure how well that would go with kind of like trying to dig out of brick and plaster. It might take quite a long time. It'd be like trying to escape out of a cell with a spoon, but like in meerkat kind of form instead. They're pretty fast. They're actually very aggressive and they can communicate very loudly with one another. So if there's somebody in the flat next door, if there's another meerkat in the flat next door, we can kind of chirp and trill at each other, and then it coordinates an aggressive mob attack because meerkats live in mobs of about 30. So if you've got about 30 meerkats in flats in Hoxton, I think it is, you've probably got a problem because they can be very, very aggressive. So we'd either fight our way out with tooth and nail by biting people, or we're pretty nippy, so when the door was open, we'd just like run like down the stairs into the street and then get on a bus and it'd be fine.
Yeah, I like the idea of there being like this kind of weird disturbance in Hoxton, these trilling sounds. And yeah, you can imagine
like an apocalyptic scenario.
Yeah, you can imagine all the all
plague
the,
of meerkats
the hipsters.
As
yeah.
opposed to locusts.
Do hipsters still all live in Hoxton?
I have no idea anymore.
We're getting a nod from Kaliani, who's the silent participant in this.
We've got a resident silent audience member joining us. Yeah, part of today's show.
She's waving. She's sticking up her thumb.
Do you think hipsters live in Hoxton?
Yeah, they do, apparently.
Hipsters still live in Hoxton. Good. I'm glad I'm not too out of touch. All right. I'm torn on what's going to be the winner, but I think the thought of all the hipsters with their meerkats all trilling to each other through like all these blocks of flats sounds like kind of fun, so I'm going to say that can be the winner.
Thank
for
you.
That one.
Chasing the hipsters down the street in a mob is what meerkats were probably designed for, really.
Yeah.
So I think you've made an excellent decision.
They could rid Hoxton of its hipsters and
they
degentrify
could eradicate
it.
The hipster population in Hoxton.
All those coffee shops that will go out of business when the pearly kings and queens move back in.
I don't know. I mean, meerkats could potentially evolve into the meerkat-like creatures like you see on like the car insurance adverts, right? Like, compare the meerkat.com. And I think they might quite like coffee shops. I mean, you know, the Hugh Hefner-like type quite likes coffee shops. So maybe they'd keep the coffee shops open, but just get rid of the hipsters.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Okay. I see a few logical arguments, but I'm not going to go into them. All right, so that's the end of that scenario. And on to the next scenario. Ooh. Father Christmas has chosen you to help him deliver the presents this year.
Yay!
It even says yay there.
And does it actually
it, yeah.
on the card?
How do you think you're going to do?
Okay.
Meerkats.
Right, so
you're not going to be able to pull the sleigh, are you?
Not really.
Not without significant
magic. Well, no, we can't
fly. Well, so neither can reindeer.
Well, Father Christmas is reindeer fly. We could pull the sleigh if enchanted to pull the sleigh. I think we'd be better as being cute helpers because they are quite cute meerkats. They're pretty aggressive, but they are quite lovable. You know, they're fierce. They're small and fierce, but very cute.
Oh, but
and
like you.
Yeah. I basically am a meerkat. And so they're quite fluffy. And so I think they'd be quite cool at just kind of like, they could kind of sit next to Santa. They could like chat to him in their little meerkat language. They could provide cuddles on cold Christmas nights when he has
really
to fly across the Arctic, you know, and it's cold. They can help pass the presents down the chimney. They're quite cute. It depends how many meerkats you can fit in a sleigh because a mob is about 30 big, and I'm not sure you could fit all of them in the sleigh and have room for the presents and Santa. But
well,
if you can fit more than one in, that's quite cool.
I think by the power of Christmas magic, if you can fit every child in the world's
presents. Yeah, then you can fit at least a mob.
You can probably fit a mob.
A mob of meerkats.
A mob of meerkats.
But yeah. I mean, also, so like, they're very fast learners. So they're one of the few, well, so they're one of the animals that is known for social learning. So what happens is that the subordinate females that help look after the children of the alpha and alpha male and female teach them how to hunt and deal with food by, as they get older, progressively giving them harder and harder food to tackle in a more alive state. So when they're just nursing, they give them, like, basically dead, like, mushed up food. And then before they go off on their own, they're able to tackle scorpions, like, without their sting kind of thing. Like, the levels of food get harder for them to deal with. And the tutor teaches them how to hunt and deal with the food. So this relates to the point that they're very fast learners, and therefore they can probably follow Santa's instructions very quickly and also work out a really efficient system for transporting and passing the presents down the line to Santa.
And soon they'll be able to capture the most dangerous food of them all. The human food.
The human food, yes. Although I'm not sure they're going to become... I mean, they are carnivores, but they're quite small. So, and I don't think them killing children on Christmas would really, really help Santa that much. I mean, it would make his job a heck of a lot easier and he could just go on vacation much earlier, but, like, I don't think the parents would be very pleased. So I'm just going to go, they'd be furry, cute, efficient learning.
Child murderers.
Homicidal.
Homicidal. No, they're not homicidal. Anirudh thinks they're homicidal. They're not.
I don't trust them.
You don't trust them. Well, what's the albatross going to do then, mister?
The albatross going to do?
How's he going to help Santa on Christmas?
Well, let me tell you. Let me tell you, he's going to be flying around. They're going to be flying around.
How original.
Flying around. Well, what else are they going to do?
Use your creative hipster genes, Anirudh.
They're just going to fly around with the presents in their claws.
In their
dropping
claws.
Them off. Dropping them off at such amazing accuracy. Like flying over, present drop down. Straight into a chimney.
Wouldn't that break the present?
Whoa! Crates.
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 Robust crates.
We need crates. Basically, Santa's in his sleigh, right? He's in his sleigh. Goes over and he's like, oh man, I can't be bothered climbing down the chimneys.
I've had
every...
too many pies, I'm too fat, I'll
yeah.
fit.
Or maybe just so many... Do you know how many chimneys there are in the world?
I don't know. Could someone Google that?
Too many chimneys. Too many chimneys. I don't think anyone has counted because... the sheer number of chimneys. And so we got Santa's backup. We got some albatry, the correct plural.
That's so not the correct
it's
plural.
It's just let it happen. we got these majestic birds, and they shall carry the crates for the children, the beautiful Christmas crates. First of all, we'd have to change a little thing about Christmas, making it more crates than presents, but crates would add a little bit of alliteration. And I think
Christmas
that
was... crates.
Christmas
we could,
crates.
We could say they were a Danish tradition that's very popular this year.
What, lying yeah. and pretending that the Danes came up with everything?
What yeah. are they going to do?
They came up with the coziness thing. That's how do you say it? Higlig, haig, something like that.
You what?
It's got a lot of G's and Y's and stuff on it.
What does it mean?
It means like coziness and staying indoors and lighting candles and wearing fluffy socks.
Festive spirit.
That's, yeah.
Mm. Okay.
So I believe.
So instead of seeing Rudolph's flashing nose cross the moon at Christmas Eve, you're going to see albatross.
You'd still see that.
Okay. Do you think
he'd
albatross and the reindeer will get on?
Look, hey, there's going to be a bit of rivalry, I'm not going to lie. It's gonna get nasty. I'm not gonna lie.
There's gonna be bloodshed on Christmas.
I'm not gonna see this blood. There's gonna be some just some gibbon. You know what
gibbon.
I mean?
Gibbon. No, I don't.
Gibbon. JIBBING. A little bit of shoulder. Hey.
Bit of jostling.
Yeah, a little bit. It's gonna get rowdy. But it won't get too. But it's gonna be in the sky. No one can hear it. No one's hanging out in the sky unless you're talking about planes, but they can't hear anything
and
anyway.
Other birds.
Yeah, other birds.
Parachutists, hang gliders.
Drones.
Drones, exactly. Exactly. We should be afraid of the drones, but that's besides the point.
Christmas got very scary.
The kids are going to see Rudolph's flashing nose. Beautiful flashing nose. And the rest of the reindeer, and I will not name them. But they will cross the moon, as they do every Christmas. And they will be followed by a fleet of albatross. the Rise of the Valkyries will become a Christmas number one.
So everybody's going to wake up in the morning and everything will be white. And everyone will think it's snow. And it will literally just be because this entire flock of albatross has had to cross the urban settlements and has had to go to the loo whilst on duty because they're so busy.
Fleet of albatross. I prefer the term fleet.
Fleet of albatross.
And yes, they will be pooping.
So it'll be an albatross poop Christmas.
But they'll do it in the sea. Don't worry about it. You know, who cares about seafaring animals? Am I right, guys? Right?
We don't care about them today because we haven't got one. Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. So we've got the homicidal.
They're not homicidal. They're cute, fluffy, efficient learner helpers.
The cute, fluffy, efficient homicidal learner helpers of the meerkats.
Anirudh said they were homicidal, I'd like to point out.
Which are going to kind of like ferret their way down the chimney, helping Santa deliver his things. Okay, I quite, you know, Christmas does have its dark side, so...
What Christmases do you have, Catherine?
Well, actually, I won't tell you about them now. but Christmas always has to have its dark side. You've got that Chris Krampus person.
Oh, like the festival with the horrible, I think it's Swedish, is it Swedish or Norwegian? The really kind of like the a Krampus festival of this really horrible goblin thing.
And you've got that kind of weird racist thing that they have in Holland. The orange man who comes round.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm going to accept the homicidal aspect.
Thanks.
But I'm a little bit worried about my children, of course. And then we've got the albatross as well.
Pooping flying albatross.
I'd just like to say that my universe would be hilarious for children because there'd be poop happening all the time. They'd love it.
Poop men.
Exactly.
Yeah, they could build poop men.
But at least they'd be alive to enjoy the poop.
I'm not going to kill the children.
I'm just saying. I don't know. I can't say for sure.
We just don't know what the meerkats are going to do.
I think Anirudh has seeded this idea that meerkats are somehow so carnivorous that they will attack humans and kill them as a species, like, you know, a genocide of humans. they might nip you here and there, but I don't think they're going to eat you. They're quite small.
Well, guys, you know that it's a post-fact situation at the moment, so I'm not really paying any attention to actual facts because I'm following the political lead of my betters. So I'm going to say that the albatross is going to win because poo-based humour is great for kids.
Who doesn't want a poopy Christmas?
Yeah, so that's the end of that scenario. And on to the next scenario. Ah, it's finally happened, guys. Humans have all been wiped out.
They're done.
Oh, well. Never mind.
Rest of the it was better off.
It was fine. It was good while it lasted, but, you know.
A good run.
Yeah.
It really did.
Make a case that your creature will become the next dominant species. And I like the idea of a planet dominated by majestic albatry.
Don't humour him. It's wrong.
Language evolves, Emma. So, Andrew, how are you going to become the next dominant species? No humans around.
We'll wait it out. We'll just fly around, find an island, hang out. I don't know. Do it. until you guys all, you know, eventually die out. And if we need to pick anybody off, then we'll just fly over there, pick them up, take them over back to the HQ.
We're already gone.
Oh, no, not human beings. I'm talking about
animals.
Oh,
I'm talking about
okay,
other animals.
Yeah.
So you're just going to obliterate them. They can still exist, just you have to be the dominant one.
Yeah. But I'm just going to... We're just going to wait it out until they do die.
Okay.
And then we'll just be the only species left, and then we will cannibalize each other until nothing is left. And then we will all be free.
So you're going to kill everything, including yourselves.
Exactly.
In the process of becoming the dominant species. Are albatross particularly long-lived?
I believe they are.
Okay.
Do you believe it, or do you think they are? Is this another post-truth situation?
Well, I don't see what the point is. If you're trying to become the dominant species, surely you want yourselves to survive.
Yes, but at the same time, wouldn't it be... Well, if you were in the position of being, you know, the dominant species, being able to just take everything out would be... Quite a wonderful experience.
Yeah, why would you want to take yourselves out? Surely you've got it living at large as the dominant species on the planet.
I don't know, I guess to confuse people.
They're already dead.
I think that Anirudh is just really waiting for the heat death of the universe at this stage.
He's having an existential warning.
Yeah, you know.
To confuse God, Emma.
To confuse God.
To confuse God.
To really screw God over, basically. By killing all of his creations. That's very... Oh, okay.
It's a really interesting idea, though, that if you believed in God, your ultimate aim would be to confuse him.
Do albatrosses have a God? Do albatrosses believe in God?
Oh, yeah. Of course they do. Yeah.
The albagod?
But, yeah. prove us wrong.
Oh no, let's not start this. I've got time this morning.
I say that there is an albatross god.
I'll be agnostic about the whole thing.
Okay. What are you going to do? Right. Take over Emma with your mobs?
Absolutely got this, right? So meerkats live in related groups of about 30. They have, as I mentioned earlier, a reproductive system in which there's a dominant male and a dominant female that do the majority of the reproduction, and then subordinate females that come and help. They lactate for the children, they nurse them, they babysit them, they feed them, all that kind of thing. So I'm going to increase our population numbers by rapidly reproducing as much as possible with this alpha pair.
Mm.
And then we're going to gather all the meerkat groups together. We're going to go underground. What was it that killed the humans, by the way?
It was probably like a sort of time delay thing that happens with mobile phones.
Okay.
You explode after you've used them for 30 years.
Ooh, that's a Black Mirror episode, isn't it? Anyway, so you're going to go underground. We're going to replicate underground. Build a big meerkat mob, like bigger than the actual mafia. And then kind of pop up and aggressively fight most of the other species until they accept that we are superior and therefore the dominant species. And therefore, that is how the dominant species will become meerkats on the planet. And we will rule with a benevolent dictatorship of, like, the top. There'll be a hierarchy of, like, a king and queen of the whole world in terms of meerkats, and then, like, lords and ladies of, like, the alpha females of different subgroups.
Mm.
That's it, basically. And then this hierarchy will perpetuate, and we'll be able to dominate the planet.
Excellent. No democracy, just kind of a feudal system.
Yeah, I mean, meerkats don't really do democracy, to be honest. Like, they do... Alpha male, alpha female, will kill any other female that attempts to mate or kill her children if she has mated. So they're very tyrannical in their reign.
That's harsh.
But I just think that's what Earth needs right now, you know? Like, democracy is clearly not working, so
democracy
a tyrannical reign of meerkats will therefore be better for the planet, and they will become a superior dominant species. And cute and fluffy, which, who doesn't want a cute and fluffy leader?
Okay. I
would like Donald Trump a lot more if he was cuter and fluffier.
He's quite fluffy.
And he's quite cute.
I disagree with both of these points.
Okay, well, I for one bow down to our new meerkat overlords.
And, good, sensible decision.
I'm quite happy not to be an alpha female, so that's the meerkats winning that one.
Whoop, whoop.
I think it's a much better strategy
than just outwaiting everything.
Waiting. We shall wait.
But the life in the sea, you don't know when that's dead.
That's a fair point, but we'll just... We already pooped in the sea. We've created our own island out of albatross
poop. That's how you could take over the world, by pooing on it. And then just cover everything and it'll suffocate.
But we're classy.
Okay, nearly every animal you have championed, you have argued, is classy. This argument cannot stand up much longer, I swear.
So it depends on the definition of classiness, doesn't it, really?
Yeah.
It changes each time.
Anyway, the meerkat overlords are going to be... We're going to be benevolent. We're going to be kind to albatrosses. They can go and get food from faraway lands. Be all good.
That's all right, we'll just wait.
They can be a Deliveroo service because they're quite speedy and go quite fast, so they can just pick up tea. Go find a nice scorpion for us to eat.
Yeah, Joel. Sounds
all
good.
Right. Well, that's the end of both that tangent and that scenario. And this week's winner is Emma with her lovely, adorable, homicidal meerkats.
They're like my spirit animal. I'm just going to put that out there. But I love them. They're great. They're really social animals. Very interesting. Very fun. Very cute. Meerkats just rule the world.
And albatrosses, do you congratulate the meerkats or are you going to try and hunt them?
We congratulate you. We will stay in our island made out of our own feces, our own making. We will wait. And we will wait and wait and wait until God is confused.
Okay. And I think that's the end of that. Should we say bye?
Bye!